Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
TVISA with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode of TVISA with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode of TVISA with Ashley Ray.
Welcome to TVISA with Ashley Ray, your go-to podcast for discovering what to watch on TV and getting behind-the-scenes insight from the people who make the shows you love. This week, I wanted to recap what's going on in the world of crime and true crime, mostly because I went on a really deep, like, 2020 binge and just, like, could not stop watching all these ABC shows. So to help me out, I had to bring in a couple of amateur detectives. They're both comedians and the hosts of the super popular SVU podcast, That's Messed Up. Please welcome Lisa Traeger and Kara Klink.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you. You have some TV people here, so this is good.
I am so glad that you could join me. I absolutely love your podcast because obviously, like everyone, I grew up on SVU. You know,
you know what makes me happy? That you're also watching 2020 and not Dateline, because I was a 2020 girl growing up. But it seems like Dateline has had this like love and resurgence. And so that was really refreshing to hear that you were a 2020 girl.
I just saw Dateline is one of the most popular podcasts. Not to shout out another podcast on your podcast, but like,
but yeah,
I mean, for me, the Dateline of it all, it's so repetitive. It's like they come back from commercial and they back up 5 minutes and tell you everything they just told you. And like, but I do think Keith Morrison's voice is iconic, and the Truth About Pam podcast,
so
I could
good.
Listen to him. It was so campy and funny. Like I mean, even though it was truly about a psycho.
Maybe that's what I'm going to listen to. I'm going to get into
good.
Pam with the Keith.
Yeah. Guy. And the show is good. And also Keith narrates the TV show version they made. So like, it's a pretty fun spinoff. I don't like Dateline because I feel like now they write the show knowing that they're just going to lift the audio for the podcast. And it's like, so it's just so repetitive. Even watching the show, you're like, yeah, we know. Like, she had a suspicious neighbor. Yes, you've mentioned him so many times.
Yeah. Also, 2020, did you like that mustached guy who at the end be like, and actually, I don't know, I liked him a lot.
Yeah, I loved him, where he would just come in and just kind of clarify things for you. Sometimes you need a moment to gather, and they got that over there.
And they had like hidden camera little pranks about, you know, race or teens, and I liked that.
Yeah. What a great time. But let's get into the watch list. What shows have you been watching that you're dying to tell us about?
I know we're like obviously here for crime, true crime, all of that. But like, we're big Bravo people. I woke up at 8:30 this morning to watch the Vanderpump finale, watch What Happens Live. Kara had to pause it. She hasn't finished. I've already had a FaceTime chat. I've made two memes. Like, it's actually really hard
in
not
a lot
to
of ways. Yeah, it kind of is true crime. It kind of felt like in real life, in real time, you were watching something go down.
So, as
listeners know, I started Vanderpump Rules from the beginning, and then my last guests were like, "Don't do that. Just start with this newest season. There's no reason."
Who are these people? Who are these weirdos? Have the time and the passion, why not get the full story arc?
Yeah, but they were like, if you want to be ready for this reunion, you're just going to have to like jump in. Like, you can always go back.
Yeah.
You can always go back. So I did that. I finally just like dove in and was like, you know, it's reality TV. They explain everything a million times. So I was able to keep up.
Right. And they literally show clips from like 10 seasons ago to keep you fully updated.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, truly, I but I will still go back. But I got it. Like everything about this reunion, I was just like, I understand. I wasted years of my life not watching this show, not getting it. Someone on Twitter said they're gatekeeping because there's so many new people. And I was like, you're right to do so. Yeah. Yeah. I'm a fool.
No, it's totally fine. I'm I don't like when people have you get to things when it's time for you.
True.
There's people that that are just watching, you know, Sopranos for the first time. It's fine. Like it's there for us. Yeah, you can read
I've
a book
never
whenever
finished
you
the
want.
Sopranos.
I didn't either. There was a few killings where I was like, "You know what? I don't need this."
But like Potomac, for example, Housewives of Potomac, everyone was like, start at this season, whatever. And I was like, I just don't think I have the time. And so I just backed up one season and then jumped up into the first, into the current. And then it's like, I go back. And I honestly kind of, there's so many flashbacks. You know what's going on.
You know what's
like,
going on.
It's so interesting that both of you mentioned the flashbacks because Andy Cohen just did Les Culturistas podcast.
Yes.
And, you know, he was talking, you know, his first love is soap operas. And I think it was All My Children. Is that the one that Kelly Ripa was on?
Yes.
And he was saying that he loved soap operas. Like, that's what the inspiration for all of this is real real soap operas. And he was saying that, like, what he loved about the soap operas is they have, like, 30, 40 years of arsenals. And it's always flashbacks. And now he's like, we have 17 seasons of OC. Like, you have so much to flash back into and characters coming back. And just how intentional he is about everything. And that you, like, you guys mentioned the, you know, the callbacks.
That makes a lot of sense that he is, you know, born and raised in Pine Valley, USA, which is where All
and,
My Children takes place.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
He mentioned that, too, that the soap operas are in different cities and it's
very different
integral.
Cities. It's, my family was very, like, Young and the Restless, which is set in some town in Wisconsin. I don't know why.
So really? Not sexy or glamorous in any way. That's so funny.
I mean, now I need to look up the town because I'm like, it has a sexy name.
Like, do they have like, but are any of them like, oh my God, how dare you?
Know
you? You cheated on me. Like, are they talking in Wisconsin accents?
No. They just sound like sexy city people. And then they're like, but we are in Genoa City, Wisconsin.
Yeah. I also would
the gateway to Wisconsin, FYI. Like,
where you'd have to wear coats. You know what I mean? Like, that seems silly. Go somewhere warm.
You know, thinking about the show, I can't think of like any scenes where they're in the snow or cold. Like, I like thinking about it. I'm like, I feel like every scene is like summer somehow magically in Genoa City, Wisconsin. Wow.
When I would go to summer camp, my sister would write me letters telling me what was going on in All My Children. She'd be like, there was a hurricane. Maria got a scar on her face. Like, she would like write me detailed like stuff because I was obsessed and I wasn't allowed to watch them really except for like sick days. But like, You just jump back in. Everything's still like the same shit, you know?
Some of the best daytime television you can watch on a sick day.
Yeah. But I mean, then on top of Scandoval, we've got Erica Jane. We've got Jen Shaw. I mean, these women are committing crimes.
Like, it is true crime. Like, I watch every single documentary that eventually gets made, every single like 2020 Dateline episode that's like the House of Shaw, and I'm like, yes, give me everything, even if I don't care, I love it.
And we have a new one coming out with Randall, about Randall Lala Kent's ex-husband.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's gonna be pretty thrilling as well.
That's gonna be good. Kara, on your watch list, you had Who Killed Robert Wone.
Yes.
I also watched a few weeks ago. I want to know what you think about it because I didn't think anyone else in the world watched this.
Here's the thing that's so crazy. My sister is like a crazy true crime person, and she literally just like her and her fiance just like stay in on Fridays and watch Dateline. Like, she watches every true crime thing. So I was like, how did you even find this? It's like a two-part thing on Peacock. Yeah. And I was like, but what's wild is that she was living in D.C. She basically moved out of D.C. the same month that this happened. And I was spent like the whole 2000s going to D.C. to get drunk with my friends that lived there because I lived in New York City and I thought D.C. was a fun place to party. And I'm like, how did I never hear about this crime at all? You know, like, it's so wild. Like,
yeah,
it's just like I haven't seen something where, I mean, I don't know if we want to spoil it for people or what, but like,
I'll give a little setup. There's this guy, Robert Wohn. He is married. I think at the time his wife is like pregnant, but he has these like three friends in DC who he like parties with and hangs out with and sometimes stays with. And it turns out, and this does, it sort of matters that like they're gay and they're in this like throuple poly relationship. And this guy, like Robert, is coming to hang out with them. Decides to spend the night because they've had too much to drink. In the middle of the night, the thruple says that someone comes in, stabs him. By the time they like notice what's going on and hear what's happening, the guy has like run back outside of the apartment and they don't know what's happened. And Robert is dead. And they call the police. And yeah,
but
that's
basically
like the
outline. From the time this guy gets dropped off to the time that 911 is called is 79 minutes. So what the fuck happened? Like, Robert was staying over because he lived too far away and he didn't want to commute all the way home and go back to work. So he came over, they said they had a glass of water, and then he went to bed. And then this whole thing happens. You're saying a guy came into the house, stole nothing, did three precise stab wounds in this man's upper body.
Where he didn't make any noise.
There's almost no blood. And
there
was
no noise.
And the guy was found with his mouth guard in, which everybody says is like the last thing he did before he went to bed, was his wife says, like, before bed, he pops his mouth guard in. I'm supposed to. I don't. But, you know, that's the reality.
But he's found with it in.
He's found with it in. And so it kind of like everyone's trying to say, oh, maybe they were playing a sex game that went wrong. Still, like, how did they play a sex game that went wrong and then they were able to clean up an insane amount of blood?
Blood and then
in 79 minutes.
The cops are so homophobic that they just, like, zero in on this, like, gay thruple. And they're like, they have all these sex toys, blah, blah, blah. And their lawyers are like, and you'll see that, like, nobody's DNA is on it. Like, none of their DNA is anywhere on his body. Like, if what you're saying happened, there'd be DNA blood everywhere. And they're so focused on these like gay guys that like they don't even look into this one thread that the documentary goes into where they're like, Robert had been doing work that was like against the Chinese government or something. He worked at some radio station.
Oh, yeah. And it's Radio Free Asia.
Yeah, Radio Free. And like they think someone like could have been targeting him. And then there was evidence someone maybe ran out of the back of the house and like over a fence, which the police didn't check. So
and
they
the
were
police
like,
fucked up with this blood stuff that they were supposed to use to check for blood. They used it incorrectly. So they basically like ruined evidence. But also Dr. Henry Lee is involved, who we all remember from OJ. He's been part of a lot of, I believe even the staircase he's involved in. Like he's involved in a lot of high profile cases as like a forensic expert. He says something completely opposite from the ME. Like the ME said that this guy was missing 2/3 of his body's blood. Where the fuck is that blood?
Where's the blood?
Then nobody could find it. They had a blood sniffing dog. Like there's just, I've never really seen making a murderer. Okay, did he do it? Did he not do it? I mean, chances are he probably fucking did it. Like there's just not so many unanswered questions, both forensic and like the way the guys were acting was weird. They were all freshly showered wearing white bathrobes.
Yeah.
When the cops got there, like it was it's just a crazy doc and it's
and I did not watch it, but it really is never enough. It's the cops are just fucking up, you know?
Yeah.
They really don't want to work. They're also bad at their job when they decide to work. And the amount of cases and victims that are further like traumatized, not found, cases lost because of their incompetence worldwide. We've covered cases, France, England. They'll just fuck it up all over the world. And it is wild. And it's like these fucking, you know, Nazi homophobes that are like, all right, that's it.
They're just like, yeah, we did our best.
They keep going, he's a married guy. What's he doing over there with all these gay guys? It's like, they're longtime friends. He's known one of those guys for like 17 years from college.
This is like 20 something years later. And like the cop is still like, but you're telling me a straight guy's hanging out with gay guys. You're telling
me. And no funny business. I don't know if I believe that.
And to this day, the cop is still just like, I don't know about that.
Well, you know what's funny is the stuff I think that they used incorrectly, the chemical, I think was called like Agent Ashley. Shout out to you.
Wow.
And the guy, when they explain that in the doc, they just cut to the main investigator going, yeah, we took a hit for that. Like, it's like, yeah, you guys are dumb.
Yeah, like, every time they like point out something up. They did wrong, the cop is just like, I mean, yeah, yeah, it turns out we were wrong on that.
Yeah,
one.
We fucked that up. Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. We got all the sex toys admitted as evidence and we were like, maybe there's DNA and there wasn't, and we were totally wrong and it didn't help our case. But yeah, no, maybe we were right about it. And it's just
thinking this is espionage, like high-end murder.
I think espionage, high-end murder. That's
well,
where
but
I
here's
fall.
Here's a crazy twist. And Lisa, this links back to us. There was semen found in his rectum and on his genitals. And when they tested it, it was his own semen.
Yeah.
So we were watching it with my mom, and my mom goes, how'd that get up there? Like, everybody
was. I mean, I feel like that could happen. I feel like a guy jerks off, things are happening. And
yeah, they stick a finger up there to check things out. Who fucking knows?
And also, like, how, you know, they don't detail, like, how far up the rectum or anything. And a lot of times in those, like, you know, when they look at all that evidence, they're just like, it was around, you know, it was like,
I know, like how there was DNA in JonBenet's underwear, but it turned out it was like sweat from a factory worker in Taiwan where they made the underwear. Like,
yeah,
it's not, you know,
it's like,
but
you
with
know,
this, everybody kept suggesting that maybe they were using electromagnetic ejaculation, which is when you like put a probe in their ass and it can make a man come like without response, like, or without like any stimuli. It's like that just, it makes it happen involuntarily. And oh, it's been heavily involved in one or two SVU episodes that Lisa and I have covered.
Well, and the true story of it, isn't it like a teen son died and the parents wanted his sperm to make grandchildren? So they wanted to electric rod their teen.
Oh. Yeah. Because you got to get it within like, I think 36 hours of them dying.
Yeah, I think
or something.
Like pretty
yeah.
quickly.
Yeah.
You couldn't put
get
that
it
well.
You got to get it while it's hot.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Let's go to another show. Lisa, do you have another one on your watch list?
I watched the sex cult one about Sarah Lawrence.
Ooh,
what was
yeah.
that
same.
There were two, actually. Did you do the one on Hulu or the one on Peacock? The Hulu one.
Was, Stolen oh, Youth.
Yeah. Stolen Youth.
Stolen Youth,
yeah.
Youth was
the
good,
better
but then,
one.
So I was in such a sadness after I watched that then I watched this a more sad thing, which is the girl in the photo.
Oh,
which
yeah. Yeah, so sad.
Is detrimental to your mood for days, I would yeah. say. But both of those, the takeaway, and this happens a lot with like one wrong person. You can meet one wrong person and your life is forever changed. Like the Stolen Youth kids, young, had a promise, curiosity of life. I'm sure they were rich, you know, like, or at least they're smart, got to
yeah,
Sarah
they got
Lawrence.
Sarah Lawrence.
It's, and then one little psycho, not knowing yourself, like not being able to stand up for yourself, being like, oh, maybe it's fine. And then 10 years later, you have to crumble your life back together.
Yeah,
slowly.
You're like, oh, I was in a cult. And that was really sad to watch. And then to see like at the awful. End, how some of them still had to like hold on to that belief. And it's like, oh, clearly if this girl accepts that like she was truly in a cult, like everything around her will fall apart. And yeah.
With Stolen Youth, I was like angry at the school too. Yeah. I feel like colleges are so fucking shady. Like they never like prosecute sex crimes. They fucking like people told them there's a grown man Svengali on your campus, like manipulating these young people who are just crossed over from high school. Like, why do you like, you know what I mean? Like, and they just did nothing, you know?
they did nothing. And then still never like issued an apology. Still were just like, oh yeah, as, you know, other students did try to tell us, but we did an investigation, which they've never said. What was the investigation? Because it should have just been, oh yeah, there's an old man living in their common room.
Yeah, we can see he's taken over the common room.
Yeah.
Like, and like, I don't know. I've known people that have had like mental health struggles in college, and colleges like don't do anything. Like they just, they are now costing $60,000 a year to go to these fucking institutions. Yeah. And like, they do absolutely nothing a lot of the time to fit, like work out the welfare and safety of like the students. Like I was on the student like jury when I was a kid, like, and I was like trying cases of my peers and was like, oh, I should not be doing this.
Yeah, that
like,
doesn't
this is fucking
like
crazy.
A good idea.
Why is this not with the police? Like, it was so nuts.
Oh, that, yeah. It's like this idea that colleges are their own little world and universe that like have
their own governments.
It's like, no, someone probably should have stepped in. I did like the one girl in the documentary who's like, I was yelling at everyone that this is a cult. I was like starting a website. I was begging people.
I know.
And you just see her like I was, she was working so hard to get her friends out of it and no one was helping her. So
I know. I like, I hope they somehow like find their way back to that girl just to be like, So sorry.
We have a frenemy and she one time was like, oh, don't you feel like you could start a cult? I feel like I could start a cult. And I was like, no, actually don't think I can at all.
Not at all.
I was just like, I'm not really like a manipulative liar vibe. Yeah. But when I told Kara about it, Kara was also like, also, why would you want to do that? Like, to lead a cult means you're a horrific, terrible,
you're not a good person,
awful person. And she was spinning it as like, I could really ruin people's lives. Like,
I'm so charming and manipulative.
I'm like, girl, you've barely broken 10K on Twitter. You're not leading a cult.
Like, yeah, come on. You're not leading a cult, please. I mean, I've watched a lot of cult docs. I know I couldn't lead one because I just don't care about what people do in their personal lives that much. Like, I don't want that much control.
Yeah.
I do think I have enough knowledge to be like a good number two. If I were in a cult, if I ended up in a cult, I would like make my way up the ranks. Like,
absolutely. I would be like, I think I can handle this responsibility, sir. Like, please let me do this. Like, I will check and make sure that the girls are not eating their calories today. You know,
I would be like the Sheila Wild Wild Country where I'm just like, this is how we have to market this, position this. Like, I do think I'd be very effective as a cult member, which that's just my work.
A lieutenant.
Ethic. Yeah. A
cult lieutenant, but not the number one person.
But again, I don't think I'd fall into a cult because I hate doing group activities. So.
Oh, volleyball at night. No, thanks.
No, thank you. Please. Oh.
That girl was too strong. She was like, fuck this dude. And I'm sure the dad was like, oh, she's lost. You know, like, it's easy to manipulate people when you're naive and like positive. Like, that's why great people do get tricked. You know, they're not all fucking idiots.
They're like, just nice, good people.
Yeah. Like, if you don't have that, you know, it's like the classic thing of like, you're not suspicious of other people lying unless you're a liar or like whatever it is. And, you know, because I talk so much shit and I'm so judgmental of everyone. And people are like, no one cares what you're doing. I'm like, I can't believe that because I'm judging everyone.
Everyone.
Nonstop. I'm thinking about all of you. So the thought of like, you know, when you're 60, you realize no one cared about what you were doing. I'm like, I just don't buy that. But that's my own flaws projected out.
But Kara, on your list, you also had Yellow Jackets. I want to talk about it. Haven't talked about
Lisa
this
too. We're both huge.
Yes,
into
both
it.
Into it.
Yes.
Well, Kara is not watching this season. So
no, what are you talking about? I'm only one episode behind.
Oh my God, I thought you didn't start yet. Okay.
No. I got to the big episode and then I just haven't seen Last Fridays.
Okay.
I'm going to watch it today.
Which, okay. So Last Fridays, it got a lot of flack from critics who said it was the worst episode of the show, which I don't know if I agreed. They said it kind of went too many places. There's like a musical interlude. John Cameron Mitchell is there. A lot of wild things happen in this episode.
Listen, it is a little wild. It's interesting. The critics hated it. I mean, I don't think the season's as strong as season one. Like, I don't think that's like a secret. But I always love a scene, Practical Magic vibes. I like when the women get together, drink.
Yes.
Spooky in the wood. Like, I like the female friendship positivity outside of this torture we've seen them live. So
exactly. Yeah.
I'll lower my expectations of plot or character or whatever for women having a good time drinking, bonding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I also like that whole mystical part is Misty's imagination. So I'm like, yeah, they can go crazy there. Like, I loved it. Like, for the women drinking, very, like you said, practical magic.
Wait, what
vibes.
Was Misty's thing? I don't even remember.
Like,
I know
she goes
in the tank,
into the sleep deprivation tank.
Yeah,
and
but what was the vision?
She has like a vision of her bird Caligula dancing with Elijah Wood's character, and like they're doing this whole musical number, and then the bird is like in a like a giant bird mascot costume, and then he takes his head off, and it's John Cameron Mitchell.
Has he been introduced in the show previously?
No, he's like playing.
He's Caligula.
He's like playing the bird.
Caligula has a person.
Yeah,
okay.
And like he has like a bird nose as a human. And he's like, I'm Caligula personified by this person. And I'm talking to you, Misty, and giving you advice. And then like gets inspired. And yeah.
The thing is, why would critics be mad? If you go into an isolation chamber, the whole point is to have something weird in your brain. It makes sense. It's not like a quick depart. I don't think it's a departure.
Yeah, I thought it made sense, especially for her. And I thought it was a great episode. We got the girls back together.
I'm excited to see the girls back together. Like, I was I was happy that they all somehow got back to the cult area. I will say, like, this season feels like it's highlighting more for me, like, a tiny problem I have with the show, because I'm, like, 99% obsessed with the show. I really love it. My little problem with it is, like, to me, like, tonally, it's so weird when we bounce back and forth from the past to the present. Like, the past is so fucking intense. Like, obviously, it's life or death. And then in the present, it's like Melanie Lynskey, there's no urgency that her character is, like, gonna – has committed a murder and the cops are closing in. She's just like, yeah, I told the daughter everything. I don't know. Like, she just seems so lax. And then Misty is also so
wacky. That was a really good impression
of
her, the way you said, I don't know. You nailed that.
Like, you know, she's just like, what can I do? And then, like, Misty is also so wild. Like, her and Elijah Wood, like, interrogating the guy on the boat was, like, hijinks, which I love hijinks. It's just, it's so, like, jarring to go back and forth from, like, that to that. Because to me, Thaisa and Juliette Lewis, Natalie, right?
Yeah.
They both have funny moments in their real life. I'm not saying real life has to be as serious as the past, but they have funny moments, but then they're also, like, really grounded, and it's, like, really, like, everything that's happening to them is very, is, like, serious, even though there's funny moments. And then, like, just with Misty and Shauna, I get, like, especially how serious Shauna is back at the cabin, and then in real life, she's, like, are you just fucking your boyfriend again? All right. Like, she's just, like, nothing bothers her.
So I think the recaps, the Vulture recaps, like, what the vibe on that, because I also am, like, you're gonna get caught, like, you're fucking in this art room.
Yeah, like,
but
everything about it was messy.
The theories from there is they're trapped, like, they're going back to being teens, like, they're not delusional. What is it when you're disassociating?
Yeah,
where that, you know, it's like very on the nose with Van working at a video store. They're all stuck as teens, and I feel if that's kind of where their personalities are coming from, that makes sense. Where it's like, you know, she's always been chaos. She's always fucking her best friend. You know, she's the Raquel.
Always cheating. Always comes back.
She's the shadiness. And then you, with the birth and everything, like, you see the true trauma of her best friend dying, feeling responsible for it, then this child. And it's, I think she's trapped in a mental thing that's been broke. Like, she's been able to hide it. And then from the moment she chopped up that bunny in her kitchen, I think she just went back to being feral, or things don't matter because they were life and death as teens. But something with their mental well-being is definitely, like,
influencing. And that, like, I've actually haven't thought of that, and that's a great point. I guess I just feel like the performances are a little goofier from those two.
Yes.
It's just like they're giving me so much more goof than, like, Thaisa or Natalie or Van, like, you know.
Yeah,
but Natalie joining the cult,
that part is
just talked about cults. I don't like that.
Well, now,
has
like
she joined?
She's wearing purple,
and she was like, guys,
I kept the whole season, I kept going, why has she not walked the fuck out of here? I'm so confused. I thought she was, like, trying to get some information out of dark-haired girl. Charlotte. like, I thought she was trying to, like, stay to get some info out of her. And now it seems like the last episode that I watched, she is, like, getting into it now.
Yeah, because she like does do this. She sneaks into Lottie's like cabin and finds stuff and their phones and stuff. Yeah. And she like tries to make it this whole moment. And then they're like, yeah, we know, we don't care. And I think that's when she's like, oh, there's nothing for me to really find out. I'm just going to be into it. And I'm like, but why is she into this? I don't really get that. Hasn't made sense to me. Yeah.
You know what I do love, though, is that Lottie is suffering from schizophrenia.
Yeah.
Like, I love that everyone's like, wait, wasn't she in the psych ward? And then you find out the therapist, it's like, oh, like run, bitch. Yeah, like, I don't like Natalie being caught up in this.
Let's not.
So wait, do you think that whole thing with all the bees being dead was just a vision?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
She's just like seeing shit and losing it.
But then I'm really, maybe they addressed this a little bit the last episode that I haven't watched yet, but like, what the fuck happened to Javi?
Okay, so my thing, remember like someone pooped in the bucket, beer meat, meat was disappearing, or bison, whatever that animal, beer I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I think during that mushrooms thing, one of them scared him. Like Sean, I remember, grabbed him and was like, don't ever run and don't ever come back. And I think he was scared. People had knives. They were wild that night. He's a kid. I don't think he put it together like, oh, they're just tripping. And I think he was hiding out in the wilderness, but sneaking around to get food and warmth at times.
Yeah.
But the fact that the green around the tree was melted and Thaisa knew where he was, that's the woods. That's,
I also just like don't get, I don't know how you could survive in the woods just off of like a little bit of stolen meat and stuff. Like with like, maybe he was sleeping,
but that's how the girls are. But that's how the girls are.
But they have at least the cabin shelter.
Right, they have the cabin. They sleep together.
Like he had a shelter.
Like they'd see smoke if he lit a fire. Like I think they're trying to act like he went into like a wormhole or something that's like sci-fi.
Yeah, but right? That Lottie knows about. Because everyone's like, they do keep making eye contact. Like, shit's weird. But I do think the woods, I mean, I think they're leaning pretty heavy on the fantastical, which I didn't think they were going to go. I'm a little.
Yeah, like, I didn't think it was going to go there.
I'm like a little upset about how much supernatural is involved.
Yeah, same.
But.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm just not really big into supernatural stuff. I mean, I watch like Game of Thrones and a couple things, but I'm just like not that. That's not really my wheelhouse.
Same.
So.
I want, you know, I'm thinking logically. I'm like, you guys, you know, if you got bodies, eat them. let's think about this.
Oh, God. The fact that they just let her dress that girl up for a couple, I was like, no, you guys got to make fucking burgers out of that girl ASAP.
Hey, I mean, then you
and
got,
I'm a vegetarian.
You got Shauna out here burying the veal, and it's like, what are you doing, girly? Come on.
Well, I have a fun question that's in line with the theme. How many people do you think Misty has killed in her life?
Ooh, huh.
She's a serial killer.
Yeah, she's definitely a serial killer. She's killed a few people.
Oh, but one... theory Kara had in the beginning, and I was like, shut up, you fucking idiot. But they do keep teasing it in the little previously on, is the cigarette girl might have lived.
Yeah, because I was like, did she die? And Lisa's like, of course, you moron, she died. And if you want more of this chemistry, please turn into our podcast.
Wait, who's the cigarette girl?
The woman that was like investigating her, the journalist.
Remember, she's smoking the cigarette
and she goes, you fucking bitch. And then she like passes out on her steering wheel.
They
just keep alluding to it. So they're either trying to allude to it that she's still alive or that just Misty's a killer.
Ooh, or Elijah Wood is connected to that woman.
Yeah. That's what I also thought. I thought like Elijah Wood maybe like
that's how he found
working
her.
With her or something. Yeah. And that's why he's suspicious of Misty.
Because I'm really upset that she would lie to him. Like, she was messy in a way that I don't think is characteristic of Misty.
Yeah.
But I think that's why they did the flashback where it's like once she feels so connected, she spills the beans or is too honest or gets flustered that someone actually likes her
and, you know, is like her.
Oh, yeah. That's like when she told the girl. Oh, my God.
And they got close. I knew that was coming. I was just like, girl, come on.
Are we ever going to meet these three miscellaneous girls that are hanging out in the cabin? There's like three or four girls
don't know. Who they just randomly were like, let's make them characters because, oh, right. We need like some mystery of who lives in who dies. And like what they're gonna eat.
Well, it could be Orange is the New Black style, where then later on we'll get more and more about these girls.
Yeah.
But I don't get why Misty's so against eating the girl.
I was like, Misty, I thought at first she was like, I'll bring her body and be a hero for feeding everyone. And then she was like, I won't let them eat you. And I'm like, girl, I mean, that's like going to cover up your evidence of what you did. So,
yeah.
But hey.
Also, isn't that where they throw the poop buckets? Yeah, how is she not covered in poop?
How is she not covered in
poop?
That's
what immediately what I thought when she went over. I was like, oh my God, she's going to be covered in shit.
Yeah, because they had just thrown shit over. And so it was like,
truly,
let's be realistic about this. Yeah, yeah. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Kara and Lisa about some classic Law & Order SVU episodes and the crimes that inspired them. We're going to get into what you're experts on. So we'll be right back.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So please tell us about That's Messed Up and what you guys talk about on the podcast. You know, I know that you don't love the current season of SVU.
Well, that the good thing about that is that that was the 24th season. So honestly, there was a showrunner that has been in and out for the past like decade or something that left after last season, and they got this new guy. And actually, the LA Times did like a full expose on how he's like an abusive boss.
Oh, no.
So I don't know his situation, but I feel like he's behind like this season. It's really kind of all over the place. I will say, last Thursday's episode I'm watching right now and I'm really into it.
Yeah.
So a couple episodes have grabbed me this season, but overall it's been like really all over the place. Every episode is like, this involves the lead guy of the city, like the head architect of the city, the head
lifeguard
of the city, like the number one soccer player in the world. It's like, I liked it when it was just like regular New Yorkers dealing with like the everyday.
Everyday
like that's
crime,
what the beginning
just
of the
like
show
a
is like.
Worker, yeah.
Yeah, and a couple times a season, don't you know who this family is? They're the heir to the ball bearing fortune or whatever. You know what I mean? Like there'd be random shit like that, but it wasn't every like this whole season has been like New York's elite gets assaulted. It's like that. But the podcast is basically, we were just thinking of like a different way into true crime. And we've both seen every episode of the show, like a mentally ill number of times. And I was like, you know, I think 75% of the episodes are based on a true crime. And even if they're not, they like, they take little snatches from true crime.
Ripped from the headlines.
Yeah. That we can latch onto and like, we've honestly covered major cases like Michael Jackson and, you know, like Pizzagate, like we've stuff that's pretty like in the news. But then we've researched a lot of like really like lesser known cases that have been really interesting to learn about.
They're going to do like a Sarah Lawrence SVU episode. They have to, right? Like
they also still haven't done a Housewives one, which to me is wild.
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend that literally sends me a story every 2 weeks that she's like, this is the next SVU episode. I mean, unfortunately, there's so much horrific shit going on in the world, but
hopefully this showrunner will be out though. But what happens to me often in the past few seasons where I'll be like, I don't know. And then I'll watch 8 in a day. So it's like, I could say, oh, I don't know about season 20, and then I'll watch it all.
Yeah.
So,
I think that's how I watch the show. I can't think of any time I sat down and watched one episode of Law and Order. Like it just happens. You're just there. Yeah. And then the next thing you know, you've watched a whole season.
And like season 1 through 12 or season 12 is when Maloney leaves. At the end of 12, Maloney leaves. So seasons like 1 through 15, I've seen every episode multiple times. I would say maybe 16 to 24, I've only seen everyone once or twice. And so, yeah, it's always good to go back and revisit. Some of them are better than we remember, especially when we do it on the podcast. And then on our podcast, we also interview an actor from the episode.
Oh, that's
so we've gotten
really
to talk
cool.
to all these cool people.
Yeah, because so many famous people come up through Law and Order. Come on.
Yeah.
And I wanted to give a shout out to the showrunner from season 2 to 12 is Neil Baer. And he's been on our pod twice. And what was cool, you know, they're based on real events. And so talking to someone that kind of created some of the best seasons,
yeah.
he's a doctor. So a lot of them are medical journals. He is reading the news. He is a genius. So what's really special about those seasons is everything is real. Like what BD Wong says is real. What the doctors are saying are real because they have a fucking doctor that is show running.
And he's like a professor. It feels real. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was this thing where everything is based on wild little town crimes, little medical things, DNA evidence where he really killed it. And he had a knack for humor because he's like a funny gay man. And he also loves old Hollywood. And that's why the casting was so great. He really like loved these women and brought Carol Burnett and wanted to make these women get Emmys and stuff. And so it is really glorious, like 2 through 12, because it's humor, it's reality, it's compelling, and it's like passionate. And Warren Light is different and passionate in a different way, but he didn't have that medical stuff.
But the other thing too is like, I mean, and a big part of this, I think, is Richard Belzer, RIP, was a stand-up comedian who played one of these detectives. Plus, you know, Ice-T has great comic timing as well. Yeah. So like there was always like a little bit of lightness because like we've talked to many guests that are like, if you don't joke around, this subject matter is so fucking heavy. Hence our podcast. I mean, we're trying to like we never make light of actual victims, but we're trying to like find some humor in the show because the earlier seasons were so like did have like a couple really campy ones and were funny, even they were really, really rough in terms of the storyline. And now it just feels like when I watch it, like the lighting is dark, like it's so dark. And it just feels like a lot of times it's like, yeah, this is part of our problem in America with immigration. And it's like, I don't know, SVU, I'm like getting a lot of this from the news. It's like kind of not like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they'll just handle these like really heavy topics. And it just feels like everything's very heavy in the world. And I kind of wish that they would segue back a little bit to finding a little bit more humor just amongst the detectives. I'm not asking anyone to like giggle over a dead body.
Yeah, no,
or anything,
but like,
you know,
they could do an episode on that woman who killed her husband and then wrote a book about how to grieve your dead husband.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's the one a friend just sent me. Yeah. That's the one a friend just sent me. That is so good. Wrote a children's book about how to grieve after she just got like, it's so good. And like, they, you know, like even in the teens, they did like a Goop episode where they kind of poked fun at Gwyneth Paltrow. You know what I mean? Like just the last season or whatever, or maybe just the last one, really. It just feels too
heavy. Mummification one was wild. It's like one of them, the cold open. They burnt a teenager in front of our eyes. Like a corpse is burning and the credits haven't even rolled. And I'm like, what the fuck? You've just ruined my life with this memory and I'm ruining all of yours right now listening.
Now I'm thinking about that.
Yes. She's like screaming and getting burnt in front of all her friends. And I'm like, oh,
and that's like an
God.
Episode about like border crossing and trafficking and stuff. You know, it's like, it's so like, it's just like, but there is a new guy who we just had on our podcast named Kevin Kane, who his character does seem like he's bringing a bit of humor to it. This actor has worked a lot with Amy Schumer and been on like Inside Amy Schumer a lot. And like he seems like he's bringing, I really like him and I hope they make him a regular because I think he's bringing back a little of that like sarcasm.
Well, it's hysterical. So basically he's a cop from the Bronx, but he sued the department for something and won millions. And he won millions of dollars. He's like a rich guy, but he still loves it. So he goes to SVU to really help, but he's rich. So he'll give like a sex worker a Rolex and be like, just tell us the goods, you know, like stuff like that.
He has like a wad of cash on him all the time.
Okay,
so he's like bribing.
That was
witnesses.
What I always thought was missing in Law and Order was more bribery and police wealth. That was something.
But he's like he's doing it for the good. He's like a Robin Hood, you know, like.
Yeah, yes. It's been silly. But in terms of the pod, you know, big crimes, small crimes, some that you really have to dig and get Wichita Eagle.
Ooh.
Subscriptions because there was a gag order on the case, you know, so it really varies from like Scott Peterson to a tiny or famous NBA players to like tiny, tiny towns in Canada.
I want to talk about a favorite episode that you sent over. It's called Zebras, season 10, episode 22.
Oh, yes, yeah.
A tourist is found dead in Central Park with the word guilty written on her forehead. Munch is forced to confront his ex-wife for advice when a conspiracy theorist becomes the main suspect.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
Yes. Oh, I watched this one. I remember watching this one in real time. I wanted to talk about it because I thought it kind of had Who Killed Robert Wone vibes, where I'm like, bigger story, conspiracy. And but then I was like, I don't actually know the real story behind this one. Like, what's going
on? Well, the real story was the real story behind this one was a woman who was killed by a man with who was suffering from schizophrenia and mental illness by being pushed in front of the subway, because that's like what the guy in it had done. So like this one was one of the ones where like just a piece was based. Like there's obviously not a story of a forensic tech who goes rogue and stages a bunch of murders to frame a schizophrenic man, you know, who kills his lawyer in a car. And then like, you know, a cop ends up kissing him so that she can free her partner from his clutches, you know, like. Unfortunately, no direct lines on that one, but it was the Kendra Webdale case, and it actually was a big. See, a lot of these are like, it's not a little case. Obviously, a woman lost her life. It's not as well known, but then like laws pertaining to that case have since passed that involve like when you can commit a person, like when you can commit a person that's just like walking down the street, violent, but maybe hasn't committed a crime yet, or I don't know. Like I actually have to like refresh my memory on all the research on that. But like, it was basically about involuntary commitment and stuff like that, because I think he had had a couple of violent, the guy who did it had a couple of violent incidents and just still was being let out and unsupervised. So yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Not that I think people should just be involuntarily committed by the state, but in this man's case, he seemed like he needed help. And like, he, I feel like asked for help and like wasn't getting it. It was a really, really big failure on like the city of New York.
Yeah, Kendra. Case. It's Kendra's Law, if anyone wants to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go. See, wow. And that's so much more interesting than all the craziness on the show and educational.
Yeah.
Do you like to watch any of the other Law & Order spinoffs? Do you do like the Organized Crime? That's like the one with Chris Maloney that he came back to. Are you watching any of those?
When I was younger, I dabbled in Original Recipe, like the Jerry Orbach years, the Jesse L. Martin years, the Christopher Noth years. Like, I definitely have seen a bunch of that. It never, like, grabbed me in the same way that it was appointment television, like SVU was for me. But I do watch OC. I never watched Criminal Intent, and I don't watch the new Law & Order reboot, but I do watch OC, and I really like it. It's, like, it's more like, it's not like SVU or Law & Order. It's more a full plot, like a season will be about like the OC task force handling one gang. So it's like an episode of a season of Narcos, for example, you know, it'll just be like one storyline and then they move on to another storyline the next season, you know? So like they've dealt with like corrupt cops, the Albanian mafia, like, but I gotta say Stabler's a star. Like he really carries it. I'm interested in it. I like the people around him. He's got a great co-star named Danielle Monae Truitt, who's great. She plays like his boss and they kind of are like buddy partners. And she's like a lesbian woman who's let the job get between her wife and her kids.
Oh, I love that. You know? Yeah.
So it's like, it's good. And, Stabler lives in a very sexy Brooklyn apartment.
Ooh, it kind of sounds like The Wire. It's like, oh, we got a lesbian. Yeah. They're going up against gangs.
Yeah, it's very like about mafia, but like it's not just like mafia the way you know it. Like they'll go after like cyber attack group, like hackers and stuff. You know, it's like organized crime is not just like a bunch of mob guys smoking cigars and like, you know, planning their next like bank robbery. Like it's a lot of the OC stuff is like, oh, wow, I never even realized that, like, this cultural group has, like, its own underground crime syndicates or that, like, hacking can lead to XYZ, you know? So I'm really into it.
Okay, I'm going to watch it. Yeah. I love Chris Maloney, so I'm in.
Yeah.
One last question. Can you each recommend one fave SVU episode that listeners can watch who don't normally watch the show? Where would you tell them, do this one?
It's just so hard because it's like, do you want to be traumatized or do you want to have a laugh? Like, so that's really tough. Do you want to learn a lesson? Do you want to be heartbroken? Do you want justice? But one that, so I'm going to say, well, the funniest one is Wildlife. Like, if you want to see a monkey pop out of a basketball at an airport, that's the one for you. If you want to see Undercover Benson sex worker, you know, that one's really fun. I want to say that with Zebra is one of our, like, fun things that we do. You know, at the end, like, Benson knows something's wrong with Stabler because Stucky picks up the phone and goes, oh, he went out for sushi. And she's like, that motherfucker doesn't eat sushi, and like comes in. So we always like to say, like, what's our sushi? Ooh. And so that's just a fun game.
And I asked Lisa, I go, so what's your sushi? She goes, I don't know. Like, if someone said she's out doing an escape room.
That's a good one.
I hope somebody kidnaps you and tells me that on the phone so that I can alert the authorities.
Mine would be playing volleyball. Like, I'm not doing that. She's not doing that.
So I would say, like, one that resonates sadly still today, but is so layered and so good, is Raw. And it's from an earlier season. Marsha Gay Harden is a guest star, and it's, you know, like, kids are shot at a school, and it's tied to, like, not a group of Nazis, but we have a kid saying the N-word directly to Ice-T's face on NBC primetime. It is pretty wild. There's a lot of slurs. There's a lot of guns. There's a lot of Nazis. And it is honestly a movie in an hour. It's really, really compelling television.
So many twists. And it was one of our first episodes we ever covered on the podcast. And we did get Marsha Gay Harden. So if you watch it, then listen to our episode and you can hear her side of everything.
And then the other one I always loved, and when Karen and I started this podcast, I was like, we got to get Ari Grainer. Damaged is my favorite episode. We got to get her. And we got her, we taped, and it was going to be our first episode. And then we had a meeting with the network and they're like, could we not do child rape and murder for episode one, please? And we're like, oh yeah, duh. Like, we're too desensitized to, like, that might not be an entryway for a lot of people. And so we picked, like, a lighter episode. But Damaged is, like, the twistedness. You go to SVU. It's Ari Grainer sets up a shooting, like, in a Blockbuster video to murder her sister, who her and her boyfriend were raping and gave gonorrhea to. And there's an adoption element and just... And one of my favorite things where it's like, I do love this because in our world, we're ACAB, duh. But in the show, the cops are breaking laws. And we're like, get them.
Beat them up.
And so there's like a trickery one element I love where it's like they convince someone to go outside because you can't arrest someone in their home. And there's a really epic moment, like a little nugget that I really love, a part of that. And so those are the two intense, but dramatic and sad, but not like will haunt you forever. So those are my, and they're early seasons.
Those are good recs.
Yeah. And I would say also, like, I'm just looking at, like, lists of ones we've covered, like Babes is like about a pregnancy pact of teenagers.
Oh, yes, that one's good.
Debbie Mazar's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's
we
a
did not
few
get
episodes,
her for the pot.
There's a few episodes like this, but there's an episode called Mean that's about, like, popular girls and, like, kid dynamics and stuff, like teen dynamics in school and, like, queen bees and wannabes type things. But
always,
like,
love that.
Level,
always love
course.
That. Oh, if you're not watching, by the way, Killer Cheerleaders on Oxygen, very good show about just
what,
like,
is it?
It's just called Killer Cheerleaders, and it's about, like, mean girls killing other mean girls. And they find all these stories from the 80s of straight up just, like, girls who were like, and so this person was jealous and murdered this girl, and she was more.
Yeah, we did one of those. Did one of those. What was the one where the girl that you covered it, Lisa, was so. I
think it was.
Wait,
for
I think it's mean.
It's
I
mean.
Think it's mean. Yeah, it is. The real life case of that was so sad. But Stranger is, like, another one. Wild. Like, fucked up, but, like, a wild. I mean, a lot of these things you watch the episode and you're like, isn't there a movie of this? I mean, like, and Identity is a crazy one too. It involves twins. I mean, I literally was just talking about this one the other day. So those are just a few. But, like, I agree with Lisa. Zebras, Wildlife, a couple of those are more campy. There's ones we like to do on our live shows. We do one called
Sacrifice. And that is with Mike Paul Gosselaar, Zach from Saved by the Bell, and Elizabeth Banks. in the beginning of her career.
Yes.
So it's like star studded and involves porn. So
oh, there's a, the, so there's yes, also
that
like,
is a good episode. I remember this
night,
one.
Night. It's Angela Lansbury. It's Bradley Cooper. Like we got
Alfred Molina.
Alfred Molina. And that one's actually a crossover with Trial by Jury, but they make them so standalone that you don't even have to watch that if you don't want
RIP
to.
RIP Trial like by Jury.
I know. 13 episodes. That's all they got.
It didn't get to last that one. But listeners, you should watch all of these amazing episodes. If you have, you probably have. Go listen then to That's Messed Up, an SVU podcast, so you can hear even more behind the scenes details about these amazing episodes, and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And there's also a weird phenomenon where people listen to our podcast and they don't watch SVU. So feel free to give it a try because we recap the episode in a lot of detail.
Oh,
so
wow.
You almost don't even need to watch it.
There you go.
A lot of people are like, I just like hearing you guys talk about it. The show's too traumatic for me to watch. I just like to hear you talk about it. So that's also an option.
Wow. I had a friend come to our live show in New York and she doesn't watch. She just listens. And during our live shows, we have slideshows. And she was like, wait, that's what Munch looks like? Like, she had concocted a full different Munch in her head. And so, I don't know. I love it. I love the pod. And as, you know, we cover small town crimes, crimes you might not know about. We also have, like, one of the greatest gifts of this podcast, I would say, is being able to talk to career working actors, directors who have worked for decades, who are amazing, so talented. You just don't know their names. You know their faces. And I love talking to them. And they know all the famous people. They're willing to give a little dirt. But it's just inspiring and really cool to watch, to talk to these people. I love it.
Well, is there anything else you want to plug? Social media? Where can the people follow
live
you?
Live shows.
We're gonna
Linktree.
We're gonna be at we're gonna be doing live shows coming up in June in San Francisco, Tempe, Arizona, Denver, and LA. And you can tickets and info on that at thatsmesseduplive.com.
And then I'm on the road doing stand up, and I'll be doing stand up in Phoenix and Denver right after we're there. But also, yeah, I have some dates through November on my Glitter Cheese Instagram.
Boom. There you go. Go follow. Boom. Go listen. And yeah, that's the episode today. Listeners, I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. All you need to do is watch Succession because we have a big finale episode next week. We're going to sit with Lacey Mosley. We're going to talk about Succession's finale, Ted Lasso's finale, all of these shows that are coming to an end. So you're not going to want to miss that. Be prepared. Watch those shows. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
DVISA with Ashley Ray. Another episode. Another episode.
DVISA with Ashley Ray is an Earwolf production made by me, Ashley Ray Harris. It's engineered by Abby Aguilar, produced by Scott Sani, executive produced by Amelia Chapelo, and our original theme song is by Rafia. It means so much to me if you go rate, review, subscribe, follow TVISA. Let us know what you think and tell your friends. Share with your golden girls. Tell your boys. If you love my TV recommendations, let everyone you know know. For special TV Club members, join my Patreon. And you can also find my full archive ad-free episodes of TVISA over on Stitcher Premium. Use promo code TVISA, all one word, for a 1 month free trial at stitcher.com/premium.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.